Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Gym class coming your way for a Tuesday. What a beautiful day it is again. October the 18th. Feels more like early September out there. Beautiful day. Leaves turning. It is quintessential fall out there. Kirk Ferentz met the media today in Iowa City. We will talk about that here in just a little bit. Coaches' cuts coming up during the APC, and if we have time, we might even get a cut in or two. We will talk Major League Baseball with Cal Eldred coming up in just a little bit. The American League Championship Series getting ready to commence in Toronto, and it can conclude today if the Cleveland Indians come up with another victory. They already lead the series 3-0. Maybe it's an inevitability that they're going to be in the World Series. And what a story that would be. First time since 1948. The Indians, I believe it was 48. Is that true, Martins?
First time they won it, I believe.
Was in 1948. Yeah, they've been in it a couple times in more recent years with Albert Bell and Kenny Lofton and Jim Thome and that group of Indians, but it's been a while since they've been there, and it's been a long time since they've won the World Series, so we'll talk about that. Of course, we have Game 3 tonight between the Dodgers and the Cubs coming your way from Los Angeles. 7 o'clock, we will join up with ESPN's broadcast. 7:08 is the first pitch time tonight. I believe that is Rich Hill and Jake Arrieta going in that one for Game number 3, a pretty pivotal Game number 3 coming up here tonight. And so we'll talk some Major League Baseball, and I believe we're going to talk a little bit of high school football coming up toward the back half of the program as well with KJ Pilcher of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, one of the trio that does the three lead guys that do a great job of covering high school football. So we will do that as the Week 9 is coming up this week, final week of the regular season, and then the playoffs will be coming up after that. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Good afternoon, and I concur on what a beautiful day it is. We can bottle these and take them going forward. Quite a night last night for former UNI and Clinton High School product David Johnson. Three touchdowns and a ton of yards for the Arizona Cardinals against the New York Jets, and he's really becoming a story. I know he's on the he was a story last year, but continues to do so, and I know he made the rounds on the national programs today, and really interesting young man, and really carving out a niche for himself in the NFL. We ask you a poll question today in which David Johnson is involved. KGYMRadio.com, who is the best running back in the NFL this year? Five choices: Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, or Lamar Miller. Thanks to Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, behind Taco John's.
Where's where?
Spencer Ware?
I'm kidding. Although he's had a pretty good run of it, but I would agree with this group out there. Pretty good fivesome here.
It is.
Out there. Shady's been good. David Johnson's been very, very good. DeMarco Murray is, if he didn't play in Nashville now, I think would be getting a lot more ink and a lot more publicity than he is getting. Ezekiel Elliott, he's done everything he wanted so far.
Been very, very good.
I'd almost have to go with Ezekiel Elliott at this point, and that hurts, man. that cuts me to the core. But hey, you got to go with, you got to put everything aside and go with the guy that deserves it. And it might be Ezekiel Elliott at this point, after what they did to the Packers on Sunday.
Text line available to you every day, as it is right now. Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 319-366-1600. That's also our phone line. Alex Kuhn, our producer, standing by. And a couple texts confirming what you said, 1997, last time the Indians won the World Series.
Right, yeah. And it's been a while since they've been in the World Series, but they haven't won it since 1948, I do believe. That is right.
That is correct.
That is right, because they had a 30-for-30 on it. Right?
That is correct.
So there you go. They went ahead a 30-for-30 on it if the Indians had won it back in the 90s, late 90s, whatever the case may be.
As far as Kirk Ferentz goes, then we'll hear audio either late in this program or on the Afternoon Players Club from Kirk and perhaps some of the players Kirk Ferentz basically saying it's day-to-day on injuries to such players as George Kittle, Boone Myers, and Cole Crosston, and said a couple of them didn't do much work today, but there's a lot of week left, and didn't rule out any or all of them playing on this coming weekend. I think he hopes to get one or two back, but Myers sounds the most iffy among the three.
Yeah, and maybe even Kittle as well. Kittle was listed on the depth chart as the number one tight end, but, you know, a little bit more pessimistic outlook today as far as Kirk Ferentz is concerned about his tight end. And I was going to need George Kittle. Nothing against Peeker and the rest of them out there, but they're going to need him. They're going to need him out there because you're going to have more. If you don't have a tight end, the ilk of George Kittle, you're going to have a lot more. I don't think it's going to be a double team, but you're going to have a lot more attention paid to Riley McCarron, Germanique Smith, people like that. So,
Kirk Ferentz's quote on Kittle was, he didn't do much today. We'll see where he's at the end of the week. For us to count on him isn't realistic, probably.
That doesn't sound like a good thing right now.
No.
At this point. Doesn't sound like a good thing out there. 319-366-1600. On that, you know, you mentioned the big win last night for the Arizona Cardinals as they carved up the Jets last night out in the desert. Things not going well for Mr. Ryder's New York Jets at this point. But Cardinals have started to right the ship a little bit. They got a big game coming up, I believe, this Sunday night. They will host the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And if they want to win, pivotal game because it's one of those divisional games that it's basically a game and a half swing. And right now Arizona sits, I believe, at least one game behind Seattle. And if they lose that game, especially at home, you're losing a game and a half. And in essence, you're 2.5-3 out at this point.
Yeah, pivotal for both teams, actually. And they're going to need more of what David Johnson has done up till now. So on the text line, 9981. It's weird not hearing Adrian Peterson not being mentioned in the top five list of NFL running backs. Considering each running back supporting cast, I would say Shady McCoy is the best right now.
If you can put him up against Chip Kelly every week, I don't think you'd have a problem with that because he had a little vendetta against Mr. Kelly.
And he did.
The Buffalo Bills fed him an awful lot in that game, and he kept every one of those footballs that he scored with. And, there's not a lot of love lost between LeSean McCoy and Chip Kelly. And when he saw Chip Kelly on the other sideline, yeah, that was a perfect storm. I hope you started him if you are a fantasy football bazaar and you have him on your team out there. Speaking of fantasy football, that'll come up tomorrow with Chris Liss. Also tomorrow, we're going to talk co-football with Tyler Staker, the 17th rated co-Cohawks in the Division III poll. They're in both polls right now. And then as well, congratulations going out to a pair of Cohawks, Iowa Conference Football Players of the Week. Oh, by the way, they're brothers. How about that? Trevor Heitland and Drew Heitland, both from Cedar Rapids Kennedy. You had Trevor Heitland with 51 carries and Drew Heitland with 2.5 sacks in the win for Coe the other day.
Yeah, Trevor's been honored 3 times this year by the Iowa Conference for his offensive exploits. And you said 51 carries, 216 yards against the defending conference champion, Dubuque. And he's a senior. His brother Drew is a junior. And you outlined the fact that he had 2.5 tackles for loss and a sack in that game. So 3 games left. Cohawks are at Luther this week, I believe.
Yes, they are. Coming up on Saturday, they've got one more home game. We'll find out more about that with Coach Staker coming up on the program.
Simpson and Buena Vista left as well.
That is right. And it's never easy to take the long trip out to Storm Lake.
KJ Pilcher will tell you that.
Yes, he will. He was a wrestler, not a football player, though, out there. But, it's not an easy trip to Storm Lake. But, hey, you got to get it done. It's now the second longest trip because Nebraska Wesleyan is in the Iowa Conference now. So, best of luck to the Cohawks as they get into it coming up again this weekend. We'll keep you updated as well as Toronto and Cleveland getting ready to go at it here in just a few minutes. Twitter all over the fact that there are empty seats in Toronto. Duh! It's 4 in the afternoon.
And the Jays down 3-0 in a four best of four series.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that's got – you're going to have tickets anyway, and you're going to want to go. At least I would want to go to a championship series, even if your team is going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I get it. I understand why the Dodgers-Cubs are at night, and they've been doing well on FS1. No problem with that. But I think you throw – I think you throw Cleveland and Toronto one night game. This one should have been at night. I think the National League Series should have had one afternoon game.
Cleveland has any problem operating in the shadows. And assuming Cleveland wins this series and opposes the Dodgers or Cubs, that series is getting all the attention, and maybe rightfully so. But
Cleveland's bullpen is out of this world.
Yeah.
And what a game they had last night after the bloody finger incident early on in that one. They should have never trotted him out there because that thing was going to burst.
Bauer, you're talking about?
Yes. Should have never put him out there.
Was he injured playing with a drone or something
like
that?
He cut himself allegedly playing or fixing, playing, whatever, with his drone. I would have liked to have heard that conversation on the phone call.
How long will it be before you and I have a drone?
A long time.
I believe you'll get in on Facebook before you have a drone.
Tomorrow's poll question.
Unless drone has a golf caddy instrument on it, measuring distances.
Hey,
and
you know what?
What?
That's not a bad idea.
Call Shark Tank right now.
There you go. We'll get that taken care of here. All right, we're going to take a break, 3:15, and we're going to talk more about the Indians and the Blue Jays, the Dodgers and the Cubs, coming up with Cal Eldred, our friend and former major leaguer, and we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Gym Class here on KGYM. Don't forget, coming up later on, we've got a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away. We will do that here in just a little bit. And also, the APC, they've got a great and terrific prize to give away today as well. They've got Little Caesars pizzas each day this week. Enjoy a hot out of the oven, fresh and delicious Little Caesars hot and ready classic pizza at all their corridor locations in Waterloo, Cedar Rapids, and Iowa City. APC will have shots to win that coming up between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. But we'll talk to Cal when we come back here on KGYM.
Between work, soccer practice, and everything else, I don't have time to keep track of the number of times I use my debit card, go to a certain ATM, or how many bills I pay online each month. I'm a good customer. How about a good reward?
First Federal Credit Union has a checking solution for your busy lifestyle. It's no strings checking. You earn 5% APY on your first $500 balance. No other conditions. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, no strings. You deserve a credit union that puts you first. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010. 1-800-758-2010.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Mortgage rates have dropped again. In fact, recently mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. Now is the time for you to take advantage of these historically low rates and save serious money every month by refinancing your mortgage. The rate today on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%. APR 3.57%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN to see how far we can lower your mortgage payment. For 6 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year, they also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. This ultra-low rate of 3.5% won't last long. So call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030.
Covering Eastern Iowa sports for more than 40 years combined. UNASH and Dukes. The Gym Class on KGYM.
Back with you at 319 here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM. Later on, we have for you all three of our frequencies. Game 3 between the Cubs and the Dodgers. That will come up at 7 o'clock and the first pitch at 7:08. Rich Hill and Jake Arrieta going at it in that one. And they're in the bottom of the first inning right now at the Rogers Center in Toronto. And it is scoreless between the Indians and the Toronto Blue Jays. Talk more about that and... talk Major League Baseball in general is Cal Eldred, the former major leaguer here, who joins us on the Tuesday edition of the show. Cal, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Where are you at? You still down in the desert?
No, I'm enjoying this summer-like weather here in Iowa.
Isn't this beautiful, man?
This is gorgeous, but you know, us people who like the turning of the leaves, we want the temperature about 10 degrees cooler than it is right now. I don't want burnt brown leaves. I want to see all the colors.
There you go. There you go. I guess we can't have everything in life, but we can...
we can ask for it, right?
We can ask for it, indeed. Well, we got Game 4 underway between the Blue Jays and the Indians going right now. I believe the entire panel here took the Toronto Blue Jays. but I did say, though, Mark, beforehand, I said I'm going against everything I believe in. And taking the offensive team, I should have stuck with my instincts and took the defense.
Well, it's been a close series, one run game and two run games. Cal, how surprised are you that game four going on right now with the Cleveland 3-0 lead?
You know, I'm not that surprised, even though I thought, like you're saying, Scott, that at some point this Toronto offense would wake up. And yesterday when I saw Bauer going out, I'm like, man, I know that the strength of this Cleveland team seems to be their pitching, and that bullpen did an amazing job. I mean, I can tell you that is not easy to do, but the thing is, this bullpen's done that before. They've stretched it out. They match them up correctly. Guys come in and realize I'm not out here to do something that I'm not capable of. I've done it before, so I'm not necessarily that surprised. And the more I talked about after we talked last week, the more I talked to people down that had been with Kansas City last year, I probably should have called back and changed my prediction because they kept saying, no, Cleveland's really good. We've dealt with them. We've played against them. And they just said that they reminded them, Cleveland does, reminds them of themselves last year, that they just – things are just going their way, and everything was clicking.
That bullpen Scott and I talked about, how about Andrew Miller? You talk about Aroldis Chapman, and rightfully so. Miller has struck out 10 of 12 batters this series.
and you know, it's interesting. They show you the spin rates and the depth and all this. Look, he throws strikes. When he needs to throw a strike, he can throw a strike with his breaking ball. His fastball is quick and overpowering. He's tall and lanky. His delivery's pretty simple. But because he's so tall and lanky, he is definitely hard to pick up. And the angle with which he can throw his breaking ball, not every breaking ball is the same. So he can throw one and he throws for a strike. He throws one to the back leg of the right-hander. Left-handers don't have much of a chance against his breaking ball. So he's got stuff for both right-handers and left-handers. Striking everybody out, though, Mark, you're right. This is exceptional. But also being able to use these guys, he's a closer. that they've used in the sixth and seventh and eighth inning. Allen is a closer that they've used in the seventh and the eighth inning. They've had the matchups, and give Francona, his pitching coach, a lot of credit. They've done the right, made the right moves.
Here's the stat for you, Cal, and maybe you've seen this. There have been 1,874 pitchers that have pitched at least five innings in a single postseason, I think including Cal. I don't know. Only Miller has struck out over half the batters he's faced, 17 out of 28.
And, you know, you kind of scratch your head and think, there's been, think of some of the very dominating guys as in that 1800.
Mm-hmm.
And to think maybe Mariano Rivera would do it. Or, man, you could just keep on naming names. And to see what he's done has been incredible.
Let's get to Trevor Bauer from last night. First,
I don't think Cal owns a drone either, do you?
Cal does not own a drone, I bet, do you?
No, I got a much better chance of cutting a finger off with a chainsaw.
A couple of things with this. First of all, can you imagine that phone call to Terry Francona when this happened? And do you ever have to make a phone call like that to your pitching coach or to your manager? And what... I didn't think there was any way possible he was going to be able to go out there and pitch, and I was right as far as that is concerned, because that thing popped very, very quickly. I guess your thoughts about that.
Well, you know, there's the thing when I heard about it, the thing that I thought about first, and to answer your other question, no, I've never had to make that kind of a phone call to my pitching coach or manager, and thank God that my career is over with and I'm never going to have to make that call. That's a nightmare scenario. But the thing I thought about first was my good friend Mike Matheny, who had to call Tony La Russa and his staff and tell him that he had actually cut his finger with a hunting knife, taking it out of the cover. And I remember I actually was on the phone, had called Mike before he even called La Russa, not knowing what had happened. I just happened to call him to wish him luck in the playoffs. And what a devastating phone call to make, and obviously that affected every game for the Cardinals in the playoffs. But Trevor Bauer, I give him a lot of credit for trying to make a go of it, but because of all the rules that it comes to pitchers and putting things on their hands, if he could have bandaged it, he probably pitches and has no problem. But having it open like that, no way.
Well, Cal, we marveled at what Clayton Kershaw did in game two of the National League Championship Series, and actually Kyle Hendricks wasn't far behind, but he was, I mean, effective is an understatement, and then Jansen comes in and gets a save. So just what you needed out of Kershaw. I wondered when you think we'll see him next.
It's tough because you look at what he has stacked up in the NLDS, pitching game one, pitching game four, relieving in five, coming back again in game two. I really feel like the only time the Dodgers are going to win a game against the Cubs is when Kershaw pitches. And if that's the case, they may or may not get to him. It wouldn't surprise me, guys, to see him come back and he's throwing in game five if they need him to. Yeah. Because you've got to lengthen this out. You've got to stretch this out. But he's had one day off, and now he's going to have the two more days. So it's going to be like going on another four-man rotation. And Clayton Kershaw is going to want to do it. I think we'll see him in game five, especially if they do not win one of these next two games. If they do win one of these next two games, I could see them sliding him back to six to give him the rest.
Pretty remarkable what he did. You pitch in the major leagues, Cal. You know what the rigors are like. But to come out, pitch on 3 days rest after you went in on basically the next day and threw almost an inning. He's doing Herculean stuff right now.
He's doing Madison Bumgarner stuff, guys. And I think that the thing is that Clayton knows himself. And in all honesty, I think that the 2 months that he missed are actually helping him right now from an arm standpoint. He knows his mechanics. He got back soon enough that he could get them figured out and start, because each time he's gotten sharper. I think he's gotten sharper. And toward the end of the year, I wasn't so sure they were going to win because he wasn't as sharp. Now he is. But guys, if everybody at home can understand this, he went on short rest. Then on his bullpen day, lots of guys take a day off. Then they throw their bullpen. Some guys do their bullpen on day three, which is what I would normally do. You are so sore on day two, and that usually you kind of tone it down in your bullpen. He didn't look like he was sore the other night. This guy came out and was dominant and did exactly what they needed him to do. So I don't know. Bringing him back in game five is would be another feat up there. But if they can win one of these next two, I think we'll probably see him in game six.
We'll have game three of the National League Championship Series tonight. Dodgers-Cubs at 7 o'clock on all three frequencies. Cal, we've got Arrieta against Hill tonight. Can you break this one down for us?
Well, obviously, Arrieta, you don't need to tell Cub fans what he did to the Dodgers out there earlier this year and throwing a no-hitter. And mm-hmm. Rich Hill's been extremely sharp. And is he going to take Rizzo out of this? They take all the left-handed hitters out of their lineup. But I think they're going to get to Rich Hill. I think that Arrieta, his stuff is exceptional. But if Arrieta, what the Dodgers need to do to Arrieta is get his pitch count up and get him out of there and get back into the Cubs bullpen by using Chapman in that first game and then using him again in the second game. And using so many bullpen guys, taking Lester out early, having to take Hendricks out, the Dodger hitters have seen the Cub bullpen. So I think that that's an advantage for the Dodgers. So they need to get Arrieta out of this game, run his pitch count high. Rich Hill, they need to just let him get behind in the count and make him have to get his fastball in the zone by not swinging at his curveball that's out of the zone. That's how Rich gets so many guys to swing at pitches that aren't strikes. If those two teams can do that, then that's where they need to have success.
Yeah. Cal Elder joining us at 3:30 here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Going back to game two, that was basically the Dodgers, well, to equate this to Las Vegas terms, at the poker table, that was the Dodgers just shoving everything to the middle of the table and saying, okay, this is what we got. We got to win this game.
No question. And, you know, Kershaw answered the bell. So I guess what I say, and Scott, I completely agree with you. That's the Dodgers. That's the best they have to offer. And the Cubs still had many chances. They had chances that they could win that game, and they just couldn't get it done. I say to the Cubs fans, don't be so down and hearted here, because they're gonna possibly see that again, but they've got to make hay in these next two ball games. And, you know, you can say that Lackey is their weak point, but I think I look for a better outing from Lackey than he had the last time, just because he's a competitor.
In this Dodgers-Cubs series, maybe more nonsense than in the political election, Cal, but Yasmani Grandal accusing Ben Zobrist of the Cubs of stealing signs. Who cares, right?
Mark, you're exactly right. If Grandal can't cover up his signs, then steal away. That's what I say. It's not stealing. It's the ineptness of Grandal that can't change his signs up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the game. That's just part of the game. It's, you know, hey, if the teacher's going to leave the grade book on the table sitting in front of all the kids, they're going to use it. So it's something that has been in the game forever. And it's not going to change. In other words, according to Grandal, Ben Zobrist should stand at second base and they should be able to give one sign. And the unwritten rules of the game says Ben Zobrist shouldn't then transfer it on to the hitter. I don't believe it. You got to change your signs up.
Cal, take us to the mound in a major league game with a guy on second base. The catcher typically is going to give a series of signals. And only you two know, I suppose, whether it's the second one or third one, or how's that decided? And take us through that.
Well, you saw it in the game the other night. Teams have gone to two different sets of signs, and lots of times you'll see a catcher who touches both of his knees back and forth, his chest protector, his mask. He'll do a series of touches, and then he'll give a series of signs like they normally do between his legs. And most of the time, it's the signs between the legs, or it's the touches that tell you which sign they're going to use. So So it changes it completely up. When you do all those things, very rarely can a runner at second base or a coach, either at first or third base, steal those signs. It's you have a better chance of watching the pitcher. Maybe he, when he gets his grip for his curveball, he sticks his finger of his glove straight out. You see a pitcher do that. Maybe he, I've seen kids that, we've seen guys who will actually stick their tongue out of their mouth when they're going to throw a fastball or grit their teeth. And so those are all the little things that you can see. But if you're a guy standing at second base and you can see those signs and you know which one they're using, then lots of times I go back to Paul Molitor and Robin Yount and Jim Gantner, and I saw this my first year in the big leagues. If they knew what the sign was and they were standing at second base, they would relay it to the hitter by, if I cross in front of my right leg with my left leg taking a lead, it's an off-speed pitch. If I just step straight out with my right leg, it's a fastball. If I have my right hand on my leg, then it's coming on the inside. If my left hand's on my leg, it's on the outside. So all this stuff is going back and forth. And it's something that, plus your shortstop and your second baseman, if you watch in the game they did it the other night, you'll see Seager hold his glove up to his face, look over at the second baseman, and tell him either mouth closed is fastball or mouth open is off speed.
Good stuff, Cal.
I love
this. Lots of stuff going on out there. Lots of stuff to watch.
The intelligence game.
This game's not for dummies. Even though I did play it for
30 years. Why is no one giving the Cleveland Indians, even us, picking Toronto here on the panel, all three of us, why isn't anyone giving them any credit?
You know what? And this is just a little bit of confession here, right here on the air, because we don't know him as well. That's why. We know who Corey Kluber is, and you're sitting here going, oh, okay, who else do we really know on that team? Francisco Lindor is a guy, a young kid. And then you're going, oh, maybe I've kind of heard Chisenhall's name. And then you're kind of looking around and thinking, wait a minute, how about that right-handed hitter, that guy from Boston? What's his name again? So that's, I think, what we're seeing. I look through their bullpen. They don't have Allen. Who's heard of Allen? Of Chad Allen? No one's heard of him. So I think that these are guys that haven't been in the league for a long time, but they've been in it long enough to understand how to play the game and play it right. If Brantley was on the team and healthy, more people would know who that he is. I don't know, maybe you guys disagree with me, but I really think that's the case.
No, I think so, and they got a couple of key injuries. You mentioned Brantley, obviously, right now, and some pitching injuries that they don't even have going into the ALCS. And maybe it's just because it's Cleveland.
Maybe if one of these games was in primetime, people would...
In all seriousness, Cal, I said this before we brought you on the air here. I think that the Blue Jays and the Indians are getting the short end of the stick here. You throw them one primetime game, don't you?
I completely agree. You cannot, either game three or game four has to be in primetime. And that's just not the right thing to do. It's kind of like St. Louis. When I was with St. Louis, we had that happen to us a lot because we're in the middle of the country, and Cardinal fans are going to tune in, whether it was a 9 a.m. game. They're going to tune in. But I really feel like put them on prime time. I know it's when they were in Cleveland, you're still, you know, when you're dealing with the East Coast time, it fits. But when they were playing here, game two, should have been the primetime game, and the Cubs and Dodgers should have been playing earlier.
Just one. That's all we're asking. Just one.
Correct. I agree.
You believe the Cubs go up 2-1 tonight, Cal?
I do. I think that I'm going to stick with what I think. I think game four is the one I'm going to circle, fellas, that is the toss-up because the Dodgers could score a lot of runs against Lackey, but I'm going to, I know John – and he's going to compete hard. But I think they go up 2-1 tonight, and then game four, that'll make a decision as to whether we see Kershaw in game five or not.
And it sounds like the Dodgers are going to throw the kid in game
four. Yes, yeah.
So that'll be very interesting.
It will. I mean, you know, there's great stories in the postseason, guys, and seeing young guys like this. I go to the instruction link and I'm working with guys that are older than him. And it's just, you shake your head and think, wow, what a place to be.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about your assignment before we set sail today, Cal, and that is working in the instructional league in the fall league. By the way, Tim Tebow's 0-for-12 in the Arizona Fall League. So
all of a sudden, he's no good now.
Have you is there camp close to yours or games or anything like that?
Well, I was down there the last week, the Fall League games, or three or four Fall League games that had already been played, I saw our young arm that you guys will see in the big leagues, and probably next year, Josh DeMont, right-hander throw for Kansas City. He finished the year in Double A. That's the only game I got to see. But they're playing, yeah, they're not far from where we are in our complex, but in Surprise. But I haven't gotten to see Tebow with any of his swings yet.
He's 0-for-12, but with one save, which was a good thing. with the gentleman that had the health condition there. All right, does Cleveland close it out today?
Well, I tell you, they have a tough assignment, guys, in Sanchez. And as we've been speaking, I haven't looked and seen how the results are going, but my phone hasn't buzzed, so I take it we're still nothing.
Yep.
Sanchez is awfully tough. But if Cleveland can score early, I believe that this series is going to be over. And Kluber, if he's even close to what he was the other night, he's going to be tough to beat. He'll match Sanchez.
Yep, 0-0 right now in the bottom of the second inning. Corey Kluber's got a good curveball today, so we'll see how that plays out.
To answer your question about instructional league, it is a great, great thing. You got kids from 18 to usually up to 23 years old who are there. 74 of our kids from our organization are there, and you do play a few games against other organizations, but it's mostly a practice style games. And it is a great time. It's a time I love because you're in-depth working on specific things with players. And, fans, a lot of fans don't come to it. A lot of fans don't come and see what's going on in Instruction League, but it's open to the public. And, people should come. Those are the top prospects in each organization.
Mm. All right, get on the plane, and we're going to have a get-together at Cal's coming up in the Arizona desert. All right, Cal, appreciate it. And we're getting ready for the World Series next week. How about that?
Yeah, it got here awfully quick, fellas.
Yeah, it did. Thanks, Cal.
You bet.
341, Cal Elder joining us Tuesdays throughout the baseball season here on KGYM. Bottom of the second, no score between Toronto and Cleveland. That game being played at Rogers Center and the Indians with 3-0 lead. All right, we're going to take a break and come back, and we're going to chat with KJ Pilcher. Mainly we'll talk high school football, but I believe he was up in Dubuque on Saturday, wasn't he?
I think so.
For Cohen Dubuque, so we may have to talk about that a little bit as well. So stay tuned, more to come. It is a gym class coming your way right here on KGYM.
Back in the 1940s, if you told Willa Dickens that his future customers at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers could customize their engagement rings on something called his website, he would have likely said, "You were full of horse feathers." But, as they say, times change. Now you can visit HertineandStockerJewelers.com to see their exclusive designs from Gabriel & Company, along with beautiful creations from Luminar and Mercury. Customize your ring by selecting the precious metal, mounting, diamond size, and price right there. It's the perfect marriage of contemporary technology and classic service. And if you'd rather do things old school, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, in downtown Iowa City. Then, stop in and say hi to Willa, Derry, Dim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Look at this one I caught. That fishing trip was awesome.
Yeah, I wish I could have gone.
I'm telling you, buddy, come work for Mediacom like me, and you can afford fishing trips, a motorcycle, all that stuff.
My job's okay.
Right. You never have any money.
I know.
Doing direct sales at Mediacom, I meet a lot of people, and I know the harder I work, the more I'll make.
You do make it sound pretty good.
It is good. MediacomCable.careers, man. Just saying.
Live the life and get the stuff you want. Apply now to be a direct sales representative at MediacomCable.careers.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, The Gym Class, KGYM.
Napa Know How.
Well, that one's supposed to happen, Mark, but hey, we're back. 3:43 here on the Tuesday edition of The Gym Class here on KGYM. Those things happen every once in a while. We'll get that back in there. Yeah. We also will have for you coming up a Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to be giving away, and stay tuned for that, which includes a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, and some KGYM and Dr. Pepper swag. Don't forget, APC will be down in Iowa City coming up on a Friday with another edition of the KGYM Road Trip. They'll be live at Coach's Corner Sports Pub, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square. Stop by, pick up a ticket, and you can get your hands on some KGYM swag, including a world-famous KGYM pint glass.
They're nice.
They are nice. They are nice indeed. So that'll be coming up on Friday. This Friday, I will be out at Kingston Stadium. Alex will be down at the Little Rose Bowl. And our next guest will be up at Memorial Stadium in Waterloo. And that's KJ Pilcher, the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Follow his step at the gazette.com. He's going to be at Memorial Stadium to see Wash and Waterloo West play for at least Wash's playoff spot. Looking forward to that game, I would imagine, KJ.
Yeah, you can ask for kind of a better Week 9 game. A lot on the line for both teams, even though, you know, Waterloo East got a little bit of a reprieve, and now they're not staring on the outside looking in. It's a possible 8-1 team, so they're in, but Washington fighting for their playoff lives. And hopefully, if I'm not injured Friday, if I can heal from this finger wound that I have, too many drones messing around with, but yeah, looking forward to that game up in Waterloo.
I know your daughters probably would have drones. They would want to get those out and have you put them together or something like that, so don't kid about that.
I think they know better than to ask me. I can't even put a kite together for them. They're pretty disappointed with my fatherly duties when it comes to putting toys together. So they know to go to grandpa for stuff like that. But I hate to think of what Pilcher girls would do with drones. So let's avoid that at all costs.
Now, you talked about that game you're going to cover Friday, KJ, but there's in 4A anyway and other districts, there are scenarios where some really good teams are going to be left out. Can you outline a couple in the big class?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't have to look any further than possibly at Kingston when you got Prairie and Kennedy going at it. And Kennedy has got his work cut out for it. You know, they're on the outside looking in. And that was a team, you know, that's a fine team from the finals a year ago. And I think there were a lot of expectations for them coming in again this season. But not only do they need a win over Prairie, which is, I think, one seven or so straight games, but they need to win by 12, I think is what we learned this afternoon. So they need they've got their backs against the wall, and they've got to come through big here in Week 9, which, you know, we've seen the year that Prairie's put together this year. I mean, certainly Mark Bliss and that offense that they run at Prairie has caused fits for opponents, and Kennedy's going to have to find a way to corral that here in Week 9.
Yeah, Kennedy's going to be one. I mean, Washington has a possibility. Also, Muscatine, they're not going to be going to the playoffs with a very good club and a 6-3 record. So, you know, you're going to have that with this new playoff system.
Yeah, you know, you look at like Muscatine, we saw exactly what they have and how strong of a team they are. But, you know, they're in a district that has Bettendorf and City High. Those are two of the best teams in the East. And, you know, you look at kind of the imbalance with quality teams with that that district, even with the Washington West Cedar Falls district. And then, of course, with Prairie Kennedy and Iowa City West. You know, Iowa City West with Oliver Martin and Devontae Lane, who are two very good offensive players. West could be the odd team out there if Kennedy wins and wins big against Prairie. So, you know, it's kind of unfortunate. I think it's a better situation than what we had last year. But, you know, Jeff Linder and Jeff Johnson and I have talked a few times, and we all think a 24-team playoff situation would work best. And of course, that would assure those third place teams that deserve to be in the playoffs would make it.
Wild cards. That's all we need at this point. We have a couple in several classes, but 4A doesn't, and 8-man doesn't. But yeah, you mentioned the consolidated or condensed playoffs. They go from 32 to 16. We're going to have a week apart now between the playoff games. I think everyone's pretty much in agreement that that's the way to go. Now, do we want to go cut the season from 9 games to 8 games? Do we want to move the start of the season up 1 week so we can have maybe some wild cards get in that are deserving, like a Kennedy or a Wash or a Muscatine, or maybe even like a Lisbon or a, I know an 8-player. You got Lone Tree, District with Lone Tree, Midland, and Iowa Valley. And one of those teams is going to be out. So you take care of that situation.
Right. You know, and get rid of week zero. God, what a dumb concept. You know, just have everybody play that opening week of the season. Started as week one. Week zero, so dumb. But yeah, like you said, you know, even looking at 3A District 4, you know, where you have Marion and Assumption facing off at Thomas Park this week. The winner's going to be in, which is a good thing. The loser, you know, if Assumption loses, I believe Jeff Linder mentioned that they are in good shape for a playoff spot in one of those wild cards, maybe. Clear Creek has an outside chance if Assumption wins to get a wild card. But that's one where, you know, that's a big game coming down here to week 9. And, you know, if you, you know, expanded to 24, you're assured of 3 teams with West Delaware. And 2 more coming out of that district.
In 3A, are we looking at Xavier Pella in the championship?
Depends on which way you send Pella.
Well, that's true, too, yeah.
You know, I think I've seen multiple scenarios where Pella's gone west or east. You know, so I think it depends on which way you send them. You know, you have other teams in the mix, too. You know, I saw West Delaware last week, and they looked very impressive. They've got some great skill guys, Tanner Wessels, quarterback, Caleb Curley as a running back. And then you got Solon. Solon has their only loss has been to Regina, and they played very well in 3A competition this year. So there's some other teams in the mix, but if they split those 2 teams, which I hope they do, I think those are the 2 best teams in Class 3A.
Talking with KJ Pilcher, the Gazette here at 3:51. A few more minutes here talking high school football. The one thing we're going to see a lot different this year is we're going to have good playoff matchups coming right out of the chute in the first round, and we're going to have great ones coming up in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, that's what, without a doubt. And I thought it was kind of interesting. You know, Mount Vernon and Williamsburg play this week for a district title at Williamsburg. Neither of them have lost to 2A schools, and I believe Jeff Linder saw a scenario where if Williamsburg wins, that could send Mount Vernon to North Fayette Valley.
Ooh.
For a first-round game. I mean, that's pretty amazing, and I think that's one of the benefits of having the pared-down playoffs, that you're not going to have those kind of throwaway games, you know, those 53-10 or 49-7 games in the first round. You know, you're going to see a lot of great quarterfinal matchups. And in 3A, you know, when you have teams like West Delaware and Xavier and Solon and Assumption all in the same area, you know, they have to run into each other before the Dome, and you're going to see some great matchups before you even get to Cedar Falls.
KJ, in your mind, what's the best story in the Metro this year? Would it be Prairie going off with just one loss so far, or Xavier's excellence, or would it be Marion getting a winning record after several games losing? What was it, 18 or 19, something like that?
18-game losing streak, yeah.
I think you can make a great case for all of them. You know, you look at what Prairie's done outside of that opening game loss. I mean, their offense has been fantastic. I think fourth in Class 4A. In offense, you know, Xavier, Xavier's offense, they've kind of rewritten the record book, and that says a lot. You know, you have Bryce Schulte that's, you know, surpassed his brother Reggie for touchdown passes in a career and is on the verge of setting his career yardage total. You have Malachi Wilson, who's been phenomenal for Xavier, and Xavier's defense has been great as well. You know, I think if Marion makes the playoffs, if Marion were to win against Assumption and make the playoffs, that if it isn't already with the winning record and what they've done, and even, you know, competitive last week against West Delaware, if they make the playoffs, that definitely is the biggest story this season, just because, like you said, 18 straight losses. These seniors hadn't experienced a winning record until this year. Even as freshmen, Marion was like 4-5 or 4-6. You know, what a great turnaround for Tim Lovell, bringing back Dave Messerly to the program, having Ray Rieslin join the staff, former Cornell coach. I mean, a lot of great things going on, and I know for a fact that you know, he's kind of reconnected with maybe the tradition and the history there. I've seen some honorary captains honoring some people of the past, and I think there's a lot of buzz around the community. But if they win against Assumption and make the playoffs, Marion would be the top story in the Metro.
Appreciate it, KJ, and I know I thank you guys for having me on your podcast today, and that's
going to
be up soon.
We increased our IQ by multiple points by having you join us.
That ain't saying much, buddy. Hey, have a good time in Waterloo, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Great as always, guys.
Thanks,
KJ Pilcher, read his stuff at thegazette.com, and yeah, he'll be up there for Waterloo West and Wash coming up in a little bit. All right, we need to give away our Dr. Pepper prize pack right now before we say aloha here this afternoon. Dr. Pepper prize pack includes a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, a 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper swag, some KGYM swag as well. It's going out to caller number 5 at 319-366-1600, 319-366-1600. You will get yourself a Dr. Pepper prize pack. Please, if you've been a winner of the last 30 days, please do not call in. Otherwise, you are eligible. No score right now. Top of the third inning between the Indians and the Blue Jays. Indians had a runner on at third with one out, but the Blue Jays got the batter to hit into a force out, or a ground out, I should say, which did not score the runner. So there are two outs and a runner on third right now for the Cleveland Indians here. And tonight we've got the Cubs and the Dodgers, and that will come up at 7 o'clock. Blue Jays just got out of the top of the third inning, so they will go to the bottom of the third in a scoreless tie. Rich Hill and Jake Arrieta going at it tonight, Game 3 between the Cubs and the Dodgers. Do we have an American League champion when we reconvene tomorrow?
I think we do.
I think we do, too.
I think we do because of the pitching, but games in Toronto, and that's a powerful lineup that really hasn't been unleashed yet.
One home run in over 100 at-bats so far for this Toronto Blue Jays Thunder lineup. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out later on this afternoon. David of North Liberty, congratulations. He is our winner, and we appreciate you calling in and listening in. Coming up on the APC, they are going to have comments from Kirk Ferentz from down in Iowa City. Rob Howe of Hawkeye Nation will join him. Mitch Sherman, college football writer for ESPN. And USA Today's NFL writer Lorenzo Reyes will be on as well. Chiefs made a trade with the Packers today. Did you see that?
No.
A minor one. Nile Davis is now the odd man out for the Chiefs in that that wild and packed scenario in the backfield. He was sent to the Packers for a conditional draft choice this morning.
That's K-N-I-L-E.
Davis, yes, who was an Arkansas
Razorback. Eddie Lacy having injury problems.
Might
so
not play.
Might make sense, yeah.
Yeah. All right, APC, with that, more on the Hawkeyes and a whole lot more coming up next here on KGYM. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll talk co-football tomorrow, and Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will join us as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Napa Know How.
Napa has Castrol GTX conventional, high mileage, and Edge full synthetic motor oil on sale starting at $349 a quart. But how do you know which one to get? Well, if your engine sounds like this, or even this, We have a Castrol for it, starting at $3.49 a quart. That's Napa Know-How. Napa Know-How.